be prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hand, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and the people and his people with the edge of the sword. If it wasn't for Moses interceding, if it wasn't for Aaron and Hur lifting up and supporting Aaron's arms, Israel would have been defeated. The same way with God's children. If we're not encouraging and uplifting and supporting each other, we will not prevail either. Intercessory prayer is so very, very vital and important. Without it, we basically lose the battle. I know I stand here today because somebody was interceding for me. And as we intercede for each other, we actually join. When we intercede, we actually join with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus, because they're interceding for us too. That's in Romans chapter 8. They intercede for us so that we can be victorious. As we intercede for each other, we join with them. Can you think of any better partners that you would like to have than the Holy Spirit and Jesus? Praying with you and for you, supporting you, encouraging you. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. In Joshua chapter 1, and it's right after Exodus. I'm sorry. I must have taken Joshua out of my book. Seems like Joshua should follow after Exodus, but he doesn't. Yeah, I got it. chapter 1 of Joshua and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The Lord promised Joshua, and he promises us today too, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. That is a promise we can claim. I'd like, thank you for getting this up, my brother, appreciate that. I'd like to claim the promises of God. Basically because God's word is true. And you know, and we can trust God's word, and we're going to get into that more tomorrow. And on Sunday morning, we're going to end it with, how many of you have children that you know are going to heaven? Okay, do you have children that you're concerned about? How many of you have children that you're concerned about? How many of you have loved ones that you're concerned about? Sunday, I'm going to share with you, Sunday morning, the promises that you can claim from God's word that will encourage not only you, but you'll be interceding and uplifting the prayer requests through God's word for your children, for your loved ones, for your family. Well, I'll share those there. I think there's like 10 different texts. But we're not going to make it out of this world into the earth made new or into heaven without praying. It's only that connection. And I want to hand these out to you. Can I get somebody up here to hand out a few things? That's basically what you see up here. If you need more, here. I'll wait till you get those. But it's only through that connection with God the connection with Jesus Christ, with the heavenly family, that we are going to make it out of here into the earth made new. If we don't have that connection, if other things are more important than striving in prayer and communion with God, especially young people. I see 1, 2, 3, 4 young people here. You know, the Lord has such a mighty work for y'all. He's got a mighty work for all of us. But the young people, the enemy is doing everything he can to get your attention off in other directions. It's only as you remain faithful to the Lord, as we remain faithful to the Lord, that we're going to make it into eternity. And that connection starts right here. If I don't have that connection with the Lord, between God and me, I can't have the connection with my wife that the Lord wants me to have. You can't have that connection with the young folks. You can't have that connection with your boyfriend or girlfriend without that connection with God. You can't have the connection that He wants you to have. You know, and that's a pure, holy connection that God will give us as we connect with Him. If I don't have that connection, I can't have it with my spouse. If I don't have that connection, I can't make it with my family either. I can't have that connection with my family if I don't first have it with the Lord. Then it goes on to the church family and then to the community. I give you these little cards. They're good for bookmarkers, okay? Just stick them in your Bible and use them and refresh your memory that it starts between you and God. Nobody else. And also as you intercede. What's powerful about intercessory prayer is that when you intercede for somebody, see, if you're interceding for somebody that doesn't pray for himself, if you're interceding for somebody that has really no desire to draw close to the Lord, if you are interceding for somebody that has a mediocre relationship, see, when the Holy Spirit goes to that person, if nobody's interceding for him and he's not praying for himself, the enemy can say, hey, hold up, he belongs to me. But when you intercede for him, the Holy Spirit can then say, wait a minute, Jim is interceding for this person. Now I can go beyond that. And that's why intercessory prayer is so very, very vital and important, especially for those that are not praying for themselves, have no connection whatsoever. And I have seen that in my life. I had a daughter that was out there, you know, when she was a teenager, 15, 16 years old, she was doing everything, wasn't coming home at night, drinking, drugs, and everything else. And then when she did come home, it was like a battleground. Who were you with? What were you doing? You know, and the Lord impressed me. Jim, you're the Christian, and you're not acting like the Christian. And so I got down on my knees and just turned her over to the Lord. And I said, Father, you know, I've been a failure as a parent. You are the God and the Father of all creation. You can be a much better parent than I could ever think about being. I'm going to turn her over to you. I said, I'm going to turn Darlene over to you. Take Darlene, mold her and shape her into who and what you want her to be. I give you freedom. And I tell you, I could feel the weight being taken off my back. And within a year, she was baptized. And we have to get out of the Holy Spirit's way. And so much, you know, we want so much for our children, especially, that we try so hard, we actually push them out of the way. We become a stumbling stone. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to get out of the Holy Spirit's way. And somebody was just sharing when I was driving up here how they had to get out of the Holy Spirit's way also in order for the Holy Spirit to pour out the blessing that the Holy Spirit wanted to. We become stumbling stones to the ones we love the most when we pressure them and nag them and say, hey, you know, you got to follow the Lord. You know, you're going through this because you're not following what the Lord wants you to do. our children are smarter than we could ever think about being. And they are learning so fast, even young kids. I can't even help my grandkids with their homework because it's so much further advanced. And they got all these new techniques for math and all of this. And I was very good at math. I can't even help my six-year-old grandson do his math. You know, I look at him and I say, what's this all about? I mean, to me, one and one is still two. Why do we got to get all complicated with things, you know? But as we intercede, as we turn our loved ones over to the Lord, as we intercede for them and praying for them, the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit ain't going to force them, can't force them. But he will go further and further and bring conviction. You know, I am a product of, I told you, intercessory prayer, but I didn't even know it at the time. But, you know, I was living a life that was not conducive to the Christian walk. And I thought I had the best of everything. I was on top of it. I thought I had this world and everything that it could give me that I was enjoying. And the Holy Spirit touched me right in my tracks. And, you know, Ellen White says, and this is in Maranatha book, page 75, pray that the Holy Spirit falls upon our palsy-stricken souls like an electric shock. And that's the experience that I had. I didn't know what it was at the time. I just felt this tingling sensation from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But it was the Holy Spirit falling like an electric shock. And that's how I pray now for my loved ones, especially those that are in going in a different direction. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon them like an electric shock. Just that day, my whole life changed. Instantly, my life changed that day. And I've not been disappointed. So we just praise God for all of that. And all the glory and honor belongs to the Lord. You've heard of dysfunctional families? How many of you live in a dysfunctional family? Come on, every hand should go up. Ever since the beginning of time, ever since sin entered the world, every human being has lived in a dysfunctional family. Cain killed Abel. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Jesus was tormented by his stepbrothers, his family. You know, all of us have lived in and are living in dysfunctional families. This isn't something new. This word didn't just come out, you know, like 15 years ago. Been since the beginning of time. They just put a name on it. But, you know, the Lord wants to heal us from all of that. And he's in the process of healing us. He wants us to be so engrossed with him that no matter what falls around us, and I like Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. How many of you love God? Come on, every hand, I don't see some hands going up. Okay. Okay. All things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. We have been called according to the purpose of God. But so often we want to make our own purpose. So I always pray, Father, fulfill your purpose in me. I know you have a dream for my life. Fulfill that dream in my life that you have for me. God's dream for us are better than the dream we have for our own life. And you know, he never does anything that is against us. His ulterior motive is to bring us into eternity with him. Everything that he does is for the purpose of bringing us into eternity. And not only us, but our loved ones. He wants us there more than we want to be there. And we are on the winning team. The devil already lost the war. He may win some battles in our life, but he lost the war. And if we remember that, any of you ever watch football? you ever watch a rerun? It always winds up the same, don't it? No matter how great they may be doing. I know Buffalo Bills, they do great up until the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. So, and that's when I usually turn it on. But no matter how many times, if I watch a rerun, and they could be 20 points ahead, but I already know the end of the story. We know the end of the story too. God's people win in the end. God's people are going to walk the streets of gold in the end. We already know that. We have the choice. Do we want to be on the winning team or the losing team? You want to be with the Lord or you want to walk with the enemy? And the enemy, you know, can give us temporary pleasures, but the Lord can give us eternal pleasures, permanent pleasures throughout the zillions of years. You know, when you think about what is eternity, I mean, we can only get a glimpse of what eternity is going to be like. But look at it this way. If you live in eternity for zillions and zillions and zillions, hundreds of zillions of years, that's only the beginning. It's going to go on. It'll never end. We won't need watches to say, oh, I got to be here at such and such time. I got to be there. It will be timeless. We won't have to worry about this or that. And the one thing that I like is when this earth is made new, we won't have no remembrance of the heartache here. We won't have no remembrance of our loved ones that didn't make it. The Lord is going to wipe that all away. Because it wouldn't be heaven if we had to remember all of that. The Lord's going to wipe that all away. He will remember it, though. He will remember his children that turned their back on him, that chose to follow their own dream instead of the dream he has for them. Yeah. The main thing is the Lord is trying to show us ourselves, who we are. The Lord ain't trying to show us somebody else and say, you know, this person is doing this person is doing that. He's not trying to show us that. The Holy Spirit is revealing to us who we are and what we have to forsake and what we have to confess, what we have to repent of. And when I, after my confession of sins, you know, I asked the Lord, Father, give me the same hatred for sin that you have. That we can hate sin as much as God hates sin. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that the day is coming, and I believe it's very soon. We know that God is preparing his people. We see it all over the place, and I hear it all over the place, how the Holy Spirit is being poured out, but the latter rain hasn't fallen yet. The Lord is preparing his people, showing them who they are. And as we repent and give it to the Lord and ask, and we're going to get into it more tomorrow too, ask for that cleansing. You know, the Lord is more than willing to cleanse us, to make us the pure people that he wants us to be. Our counsel is that before Jesus returns, those last day people, and this is a fulfillment of Revelation 13, the last part, his last day people would rather die than commit the smallest of sins. You know, we see what's happening around the world. People are being killed just because they're Christians. If our faith isn't being tried and tested and used today, how are we going to stand? Because Revelation 13 says there will be a death decree. We don't know how that's going to take place, but there will be a death decree put on God's people. Are you ready to stand and go through that? You know, are our children ready? Are we preparing our children for that day? That time is just ahead of us. I don't believe we have much time left in this earth's history. Are other things more important? And do I have to be politically correct here? No, I only got one no. Okay. You know, I do a prison ministry in that, and I like it because I can speak very bluntly, very plainly. And it showed me that, you know, now is the time. Now is no time to preach smooth teachings, things that tickle your ear. But just before us, the time is coming that we will be faced with that. If we were over in Iran or Syria, all these countries over there, you know, I see these men, Christian men, being walked with another man hanging on to them and kneeling down and being slaughtered because they're Christians. How are we going to stand if it comes here? Amen. Keep on praying. And make sure you're praying for those that are being persecuted. I not only pray for the ones that are being persecuted for the Lord's sake, but everyone that's being persecuted. There's many, many people that are being persecuted just because, you know, they're different. And matter of fact, this country went through the same type of thing. And probably still is, from what I understand. There's still that discrimination and segregation. I just seen on TV in Alabama, where a lot of it took place back in the 60s, and I was there. I was in Mississippi. But I seen a lot of it firsthand. And I was just visiting, went down there to visit with some people. But, you know, it was, you know, I couldn't believe the difference between New York and the South. The only difference was the South was very open with it. The North did it behind your back, you know, and, you know, smiled to your face and did it behind your back. But, you know, the Lord is going to erase that from God's people. You know, at the foot of the cross, we're all on level ground. There's none better and none worse than anybody else. We are all guilty of the death of Christ. We have murdered, our sins have murdered Jesus. And once we realize that, and you know, I would just, you know, and I contemplate a lot on that. Not only what the Father himself is going through now, but what he went through when Jesus was walking his earth. Can you imagine? And we just get a glimpse. When the Father said goodbye to Jesus and he came to this earth, there must have been great tears shed, not only by the Father, but by the Holy Spirit, by the angels, you know, that Jesus was going. Matter of fact, we're told on page 410 of Desire of Ages that Jesus was shown the path that he had to travel from the manger to Calvary. He was shown all the rejection, all the persecution, all the torture, everything. He's seen it all. And he said, "Lo, I come." Can you imagine a God that loves us that much, that even though he was going to go through all of that, and when he walked this earth, he didn't know in the end if he would make it up in Calvary. Well, he knew he would make it in Calvary. He didn't know if he would raise from the dead. But by faith, he gave himself to his Father. And that's why when he rose from the grave and Mary held on to him, he says, "I have not yet ascended to my Father." He had to go and make sure that his sacrifice was acceptable. And we can only get a glimpse of that, but can you get a glimpse now? You know, we see what's happening all around the world, basically. And just tidbits we get. Did you ever talk to your Heavenly Father in the morning during your prayer time? And I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't, ask him, "Father, what did you go through while I slept? peacefully. What did you experience? And see what the Lord shares with you. While you slept, everything that he seen, everything that he heard. You know, and when we think of Christ in Gethsemane, the experience that he had, that's when all the sins were laid upon him. You know, and it wasn't just my sins, everybody's sins. All the murders, all the child abuse, all the rapes, all the thefts, everything. All of that was placed upon Christ. And that's why he almost died in Gethsemane. And he would have died, but after he made the commitment to go through with the sacrifice on Calvary, an angel came to strengthen him. It wasn't until after he made the decision. And we're told that the human race teetered in the balance of Christ's decision. He could have very easily went back home. But he made the decision at any cost to himself that he would go through with the sacrifice. The battle was actually waged in Gethsemane. The sacrifice was just a fulfillment of the commitment that he already made. In the same way with sin, you don't just go out and sin. You don't wake up one morning and walk past a bank and say, oh, I'm going to go in and rob this bank. You know, it's something that you have already committed in your sin. All the impure thoughts that we have, it isn't because you just woke up one morning and decided to have them. It's things that we have entertained through our life. And the enemy is very good at pushing the buttons and bringing them up to where, to our remembrance. Turn with me to Titus. Titus is just before Hebrews, right after Timothy. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. You know, and I'm going to explain this verse to you, that we are what we think. When we see a certain thing happening, we react to it like we would respond if it was happening to us, okay? So, you know, if somebody says something, and they could have the purest of motives, we are going to take it the same way that we would take it as if we were giving it, okay? So that's when our minds are defiled. When our minds are pure, turn with me to Philippians 2. Right after Ephesians, Philippians 2, just back a few pages, 2 verses 1 to 5, 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. Now, this is God speaking. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than himself. What kind of a world would we have if every human being esteemed others as better than himself? What kind of church would we have? Okay, I want to read something that somebody just sent me yesterday, and I didn't make copies of this. But it says, who is more important? The one sitting at the table or the one serving the food? Okay. In Jesus' day, washing the feet was a task of the lowest of the servants. The lowest of the servants. Every circle had a pecking order. And it was nothing, no difference in the religious leaders of that day. And in the case of the one with the towel, the basin is in, and the towel is in the hand of the King of all creation. He stoops to wash the filth off of his disciples' feet. He stoops and massages their toes, gets everything out from in between, cleans them up. And it was done for the example that as Christians, we are to humbly present ourselves to each other. I used to pray, Father, humble me. But I've never read in Scripture where he says he would do that. He does say, though, humble your heart. Humble yourselves before the Lord. So now I pray, Father, teach me how to be humble. Give me the opportunities to be humble, that I can be the servant that you want me to be. And I'll tell you, it's very hard for a presenter or a speaker to remain humble when people are constantly praising you. So, give the praise to the Lord for anything that I might say. If I say something wrong, blame me. If I say something right, praise the Lord, okay? Something that touches your heart. And I wrote two books. 3ABN picked them up, and right now they're in the process of doing 26 episodes on them. But it's hard to remain humble. Excuse me. When they're always praising you. Say, these books are going to go around the world. These books are these episodes. 3ABN is going to go all over the place. People are going to report your name is going to be uplifted. Say, wait a minute, no. That's not what it's about. Matter of fact, I stopped even signing, autographing books, and I only autographed maybe 6 of them because, people asked me to begin with. When I first, the first one I authored, I started feeling real proud. Wow, they want my signature, And I had to stop it because I know I'm a very prideful person, so I have to, I have to step back and make sure that the Lord gets the credit. The second book I authored, I had them put on where I would have signed. I just had them write in cursive, "Praise the Lord," and that's where all the praise has to go for. There's nothing good that we have of ourselves. Okay. No matter how much we dress up, underneath we're still filthy, but the Lord is going to clean us up. And we can count and trust that he's going to do that. Philippians 4:8, just over a page. We read Philippians 2. Philippians 4:8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We always want to look, as human beings, want to look at the negative. I've conditioned myself that no matter what, I'm going to look at the positive. No matter how it may appear, there is always something positive that we can look at. And as Christians, that's what we're called to do. We don't know the motives. The Lord knows our heart. He knows everybody else's heart. But we don't. So no matter what somebody does, look at the positive side of things. And forget the negative stuff. It's the enemy that wants us to look at the negative. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We have a sacrifice to make to God, and that's our reasonable service. Okay? That we can present ourselves. We don't have to die to be sacrificed. We have to live to be sacrificed. We are a living sacrifice as we dedicate our lives to the Lord. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would you like to know what is the perfect will of God? He's going to reveal that to us. But we have to live in accordance with his will. The Lord is doing everything to get us into eternity. And you're going to hear me say throughout the weekend that all of heaven is doing whatever is necessary to get us there. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels of heaven are doing everything that they can. They're not leaving one stone unturned to get us into eternity. But they can't force us. We have to make the choice. It's our decision. But the good part about it, too, the devil can't force us to sin. We have to make that choice. And that's why if we are lost, which I pray none of us are, it's because we chose to be lost. We had to virtually trample on the sacrifice, the blood of Christ, to be lost. It's easier to be saved than to be lost. The victory has already been gained. We just have to accept it and go on in newness of life and let the Lord transform us into who he wants us to be. In Revelation chapter 19, 1 and 6, Revelation 19, starting with verse 1 and then verse 6. And this is after the battle is over and we are in eternity. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. And again, verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Do you want to be among this crowd? Look at Luke. There is an option. Luke 19. Luke 19. Let me see where we want to start here. I think it's verse 36. Yeah, 19, verse 36. Starting with verse 36. And this was when Christ was coming in a triumphal entry. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they have seen and heard, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, Rebuke them, teacher. And listen to what Jesus said. I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. In chapter 19, the people are going to be rejoicing with hallelujahs and praising the Lord. How would you like a stone to take your place? A rock to take your place. That's what Jesus said. If we aren't going to do it, you know, we have a privilege, the privilege, in this time of Earth's history. What's your name, sister?
Johanna.
Johanna, and all the rest of us. How about you back there, young lady? What's your name? Denisa?
Anissa.
Johanna and Anissa. I'm going to share something with you and all the rest of you. This includes all of us. Moses. Joseph. Abraham. All the apostles, all the prophets, Isaiah, Solomon, the wisest man of all, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, Paul, would have loved to have been alive today at this time of Earth's history. But God chose Joanna and Elisa and Hugh and Rachel. There she is, okay. All of us. He chose all of us. What an awesome privilege the Lord has placed in our hands that we... can be alive now at usher in the coming of Christ. I got more years behind me than ahead of me, but I see a lot of years that are a lot younger than I am. And if the Lord chooses that I go to rest before he returns, he has a plan for each and every one of your lives. And that is to totally represent him to whoever we come in contact with. Yesterday I was working with my son. He's building a hotel in Niagara Falls. He's doing a carpentry work on it. And the language of the contractors are just deplorable, to put it mildly. Well, one man, things wasn't going right, and this is a four-floor hotel. And he's walking through every floor, language that, you know, just beyond anything that even the people that are seasoned contractors wanted to hear. And one guy walked past me, and he, I said, how did I start that conversation? I said, was that you making all that noise? And he said, Lord, no. And he kept walking on. When he came back, I said, you know, it's only the Lord that can save him. And he said, yeah, I know. So they walked, and then he came back again. And I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, why don't we pull aside, because there's all these rooms, and we prayed for that man. We interceded for him. First time I ever met the man that I prayed with. But wherever we are, we can be a blessing. We can pray with people. And the Lord is going to put people in our midst. I don't believe that anything is coincidence. People I meet, I believe that the Lord has placed them there for me to be Jesus to them. As feeble as I may be. And I go out of my way to talk to people. And am I getting over my time here? I don't know. Okay. I don't know what time we started, but I will go out of my way to talk to people, like in Walmart or any place. You know, did you ever see these people riding these scooters around in Walmart? You know, these handicap thing? Well, I'll say to them, how do I get a job like you so I can ride around on one of these things? And I've prayed with people. You know, they'll say, oh, you don't want this. I've got this. I've got that. So I pray with them right there, you know. You know, there's many opportunities, no matter where we are. You know, and I smile a lot. And I'll say hello to people I don't even know and see what kind of response. And, you know, if people smile back, I start the conversation with, well, you got a pretty smile. I'm glad you use it. Or if it's a man, I'll say, boy, that's a nice smile, brother. I'm glad that you use your smile. And then we'll talk, and sometimes I'll pray with them. All depends what doors open, the Lord opens up. But I'll see these people more than one occasion after that, and we talk. So, you know, wherever we are, we can be a witness for Christ. The other option is that if you're not a witness for Christ, who are you a witness for? The enemy, Satan. There's nothing in between, okay? And in the end, there are going to be two groups of people. Those that are saved, those that are lost. Those that are in eternity, and those that committed the unpardonable sin. There'll be no in between, no gray area. Every human being will make their decision for or against Christ. And that's why it's very important that we intercede. Prayer is the key that will unlock every obstacle in our way. And we're told that as we pray, and I have to paraphrase this, as we pray, we loose the hand of God to work in different areas, okay? But, you know, that's why it's so very, very important to pray. Tomorrow, during worship time, and I want you to think about this tonight, and I'll also mention it again tomorrow to those that aren't here, I want you to share some miracles that the Lord has performed in your life just because you prayed. And I'm going to share just one tonight, and that we'll end it with that. That when I was in academy, I didn't have any money. He needed money just for registration on Sunday. On Wednesday before that, I didn't have any money. But I opened my Bible to the text in Malachi. It says, if you return tithe, give offerings, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that your house will not be able to contain it. Well, I prayed that prayer. I was employed at Bethlehem Steel. I was in the office. I opened my Bible to that exact text and read it. And Father, I said, I'm claiming this promise for my son's education. And it was a large sum of money that he needed just to register. And I claimed the promise, closed the Bible. Within a half an hour, a person called me up and said, Jim, I was going to call you yesterday, but there were people around. I didn't want to hear what I'm going to tell you. I have X number of dollars, which was more than what I needed for your son's education. That showed me two things. One, God already had the prayer answered, but he waited till I prayed. That's why it's so very important to pray. Blessings will flow once we present it to the Lord, okay? And, you know, and there's time after time that I can share stories like this. But, you know, the Lord wants to do more for us than we could even think or ask. Well, we got to ask, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, it's good to be in your house. Thank you for providing this beautiful church for the folks of Troy. I just thank you, Father, that you do want to do more for us than we could even think or ask. We just praise you for who you are, the God of all creation. And yet you are so mindful of us, these clumps of clay that you molded and fashioned into human beings. Father, I don't understand it, how you could love us so much after what we've done to you, to your son, to just this earth, Father, how we have destroyed it. Father, just take us, continue to use us, mold us and shape us into who and what you want us to be, and give us the strength and courage and stamina and fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we can totally represent you. For we ask it in the powerful, precious, mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.